This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كل العلوم سوى القرآن مشغلة إلا الحديث وإلا الفقه في الدين العلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we're still explaining Kitab al-Zakah from Bulugh al-Maram. But the circumstances being as they are, Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed that the only way that we are able to do the class is to do it from home. And inshallah ta'ala, what we're going to try to do is to still release it on YouTube at a specific time, so that inshallah people can still follow it and watch it as if it was a regular class in the masjid. Of course, we hope and we pray that very quickly we'll be able to go back to the masajid and we'll be able to hold a class in the masjid. But obviously the circumstances being what they are at the moment in the UK, and it's a similar situation in many places in the world, the masajid are closed and we're not able to hold any classes at all. So what we're doing is recording the videos here at home. And inshallah ta'ala, we will upload them, and I'm going to try and schedule them for a specific time, and so that people can inshallah join and watch. I did think about the live stream option, but decided against it. There are some issues with that in terms of equipment, in terms of people not being able to hear sometimes properly, and all sorts of internet issues and whatever. So I just decided what we're going to do is pre-record the video and release it at a specific time on YouTube, inshallah, so that people can watch it as though it was a regular class, inshallah ta'ala. So in our last class, which we did in Masjid al-Tawheed, we reached around about halfway through the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu regarding the letter that Abu Bakr gave to him radiallahu anhu when he was sent to Al-Ihsa to be a zakah collector. And when Anas was sent radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent him with some instructions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the zakah. And we spoke about the camels, we spoke about the different amounts of zakah that were due upon different amounts of camels. But there are a couple of points that I would like to start by clarifying. First of all, in the beginning of the hadith, we spoke about the one that has five camels. We said, fi kulli khamsin sha, for every five there is a sha, a sheep. Now, I use the word sheep, and this is the word that is used in most of the translations. But in reality, the word sha, and likewise when we talk about al-ghanam and so on, these words are generic and cover many different types of similar animals. They cover sheep and they also cover goats as well. They cover, for example, al-da'an, which and al-ma'iz or al-ma'iz, they cover sheep and they cover goats. So I didn't want to, you know, I just used the generic word sheep, but it just should be clear that in the previous video, whenever we referred to sheep, if the owner had goats, for example, then they could also give a goat instead of a sheep. The second point that I wanted to clarify is towards the end of the lesson. And towards the end of the lesson, we spoke about the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَىٰ عِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةٍ فَفِي كُلِّ أَرْبَعِينَ بِنْتُ لَبُونَ وَفِي كُلِّ خَمْسِينَ حِقَّةٍ. When it goes over 120, that's 120 camels. We should be clear in this, that in terms of the number of camels, it doesn't matter about the age and it doesn't matter about the gender. They could be male camels, female camels, it could be a mix. They could be very young camels, newly born camels, older camels. The number is made from all the camels that the person owns. When the number goes over 121, we talked about something called istiqrar al-fariwa, where the pattern becomes settled. The zakah pattern becomes settled. It's not something which you have to kind of memorize and learn, but it's something where you can follow a very specific pattern. And that's after or once it reaches 121. For every 40, there is a bintu labun, and for every 50, there is a hiqqa. We said bintu labun. Remember, if we talked about types of camels, we talked about bintu bakhad, has passed a year and entered into the second year. Bint Labun has passed 2 years and entered into the third year. And as for the Hiqqa has passed 3 years and entered into the fourth year. We also spoke about the Jada'a, and the Jada'a, which has entered 4 years, which has passed 4 years and entered into the fifth year. We spoke about the Jada'a previously. It's completed 4 years and entered into the fifth year. But here, for every, once it gets to 121, then for every 40, there is a Bintul Abun, and for every 50, there is a Hiqqa. So every 40, there is a Bint Labun, that is a two-year-old camel that has gone into 3 years. And every time you reach 50, there is a Hiqqa, that is a camel which has reached 3 years and entered into its fourth year. How does this work though? So now we've kind of understood, inshallah ta'ala, and I know it wasn't easy, and we mentioned in the last class that the reason it wasn't easy is quite simply because none of us own camels, or at least none of the people in the room at the time, in the masjid at the time, owned any camels. So we weren't really familiar with the terms, and it wasn't so easy for us to count the camels and things like that. But here now, we imagine a person gets to 121 camels. So now we have istiqrar al-fariidah. It all calms down and it settles down into a regular pattern. Every 40 is a bint labun. Every 50 is a hiqqa. Okay, how does that actually work? Well, the way that that works is, let's first of all look at what this means. First of all, once we get to 121, we don't pay any attention to what has already come before. So we don't count the two binta labun or the hiqqatan, the two hiqqa, which was up to 120. We don't count any of those. We start again. We have a completely different method of calculation when we reach 121. It's not like we get to 120 and we count that zakah, then we start with the one left over. It doesn't work like that. Instead, what happens is we start all over again. We don't look. We don't take any zakah, anything different in the first 120. All we do is we start all over again. So someone has 121. Now we have two options: every 40 or every 50. So the first, and in this, what you've got to do is kind of look at what happens when you keep adding combinations of 40 and 50 together. So it's not like just multiples of 40 or multiples of 50, but even when you combine. So for example, how can we make 121? So to get to 121, we have 40 and 40 and 40. That's three sets of 40. We have 40 and we have 40 and we have 40. And that makes 120. So for the one that has 121, we look at 40, 40, 40. And that is three Banat Labun. So that's three Bint Labun. The Bint Labun, remember, the camel 2 years gone into 3 years. So there's three of them. And the reason that there's three of them is because once we hit 121, we now follow this new pattern of 40s and 50s. So at 121, what we're going to do is we can't go 50, 50, that makes 100. So that's back in the old system. So we can't go 40, 40, that makes 80. That's back in the old system. We need a number that will reach 120, actually, 121, and we have 40, 40, 40. So at 121, we use the 40, 40, 40, and we have three Banat Labun. That's three she-camels that have reached 3 years old, past 2 years old, and into the third year. Done 2 years and into the third year. So now that will take us all the way up to 129. So 121, 122, 123, 124, 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. Once we get to 130, we can actually make it a different way, because now we can make it with two 40s and a 50. Once we get to 130, we can make it with two 40s and a 50. So that would be 40 and 40, which makes 80, and 50, which makes 130. So from 130 to 139, the pattern is going to be 40, 40, 50, which is two Bint Labun, and one Hiqqa. Because remember, for every 40, there is a Bint Labun. For every 50, there is a hiqqa. So it's going to be 2 bint labun and 1 hiqqa, which makes 130. So that's 130, 131, 132, 133, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. The next number we come to is 140. How can we make 140 out of 40s and 50s? So here we have 2 50s and a 40. 2 50s makes 100 and 40 makes 140. So that would be 2 hiqqa and 1 bint labun. 2 hiqqa, hiqqatan, 2 of the hiqqa camels, and 1 of the bint labun camels. So that's fine for 140, 141, 142, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. When we reach 150, we can make it with 3 sets of 50. 50, 50, 50 makes 150. So that's going to be 3 hiqqa camels. So that's going to be 3 hiqqa camels, 50, 50, 50, 3. When we reach 160, that's fine for 150, 151, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When we reach 160, we can make it with 4 bint labun, 4 banat labun. So that would be 4 times 40, gives us 160. So that makes 4 of the bint labun she camels. And the pattern continues like that. So it will then go to 3 bint labun and a hiqqa, 2 bint labun and 2 hiqqa, 3 hiqqa and a bint labun, and then and so on. So that would take us to 170, 180, 190. When we get to 200, we actually have a choice. Because 200 you can make 2 different ways, right? 200 you can make 2 different ways. It's a common multiple between 40 and 50, so that you can make it with 40s, you can make it with 50s. So you can either make it with 4 50s, that would be 4 hiqqa camels, or you can make it with 5 bint labun or banat labun, so that would be 5 of those. And the person has a choice, because you can make it with either 4 times 50 or 5 times 40. So either 4 of the hiqqa camels or 5 of the bint labun camels. And then you continue like that with 4 banat labun and a hiqqa for 200, up to, which is 210 to 219. And it just keeps going every 40, every 50, every 40, every 50. And of course, with the number 40 and 50, because you're doing multiples like that, you're adding them together in combinations, you can go up, you can just keep going up in tens. So every 10 can have a different combination. And every now and again, you get to a common multiple where you can choose like 200, where you can choose which of the two you want to give. So that explains the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that we spoke about with regard to the one who reaches 121 camels. As we said, فَإِذَا زَادَتْ أَلَى عِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةٍ فَفِي كُلِّ أَرْبَعِينَ بِنْتُ لَبُونَ وَفِي كُلِّ خَمْسِينَ حِقَّةٍ. That once it reaches 121, then for every 40 camels, there is a bint labun she camel, and for every 50 camels, there is a hiqqa she camel. Once again, we don't look at the previous, it just goes back to a simple pattern without any reference to what has come previously, and it's made up of 40s and 50s, 40s and 50s. So 121 to 129, then 130 to 139, 140 to 149, 150 to 159, 160 to 169, and it just keeps going like that, making it out 40s and 50s, 40s and 50s, 40s and 50s in combination. And as we said, it's a little bit difficult sometimes because we're not used to that kind of thing, but for the owners of the camels, it was something that people were familiar with, and indeed there's no doubt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, they were very familiar with that. That was in terms of camel herders, in terms of buying and selling camels. And so this is how the zakah, how Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the zakah should be paid upon camels. We then have the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ إِلَّا أَرْبَعُ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. That whoever has only 4 camels, then there is no zakah due upon them unless the owner of those camels wishes. We'd already mentioned this in the previous lesson, and we've mentioned that with regards to the owner of the camels, if they wish to give voluntarily, let's say they have four camels and they wish to give a sheep voluntarily, then that is perfectly acceptable and that is a good deed for them and an act of ihsan, an act of excellence in the religion of Islam, but they're not required to give anything until it reaches five, as we had said. The hadith then continues, وَفِي صَدَقَةِ الْغَنَمِ فِي سَائِمَتِهَا إِذَا كَانَتْ أَرْبَعِينَ إِلَى عِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةِ إِلَى عِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةِ شَاتٍ شَهْ. As for the zakah of al-ghanam, and al-ghanam is another one of those general words, we might translate it to sheep, but it covers sheep and goats and the likes of that. Fi sa'imatiha. Here we have a really interesting issue to discuss, and that is the issue of what we call a sawm, not a sawm with a sod, but a sawm with a seen. And a sawm, as it relates to cattle, is the fact that they graze without, you could say, the owner's intervention, or without the owner feeding them. Without the owner feeding them. They graze from the land. And this issue of grazing from the land is one that applies to all of the cattle in zakah. It applies to all of the cattle in zakah. And here the scholars differed with regard to the conditions of it. Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the sawm is a condition for zakah. In other words, when it comes to all of the cattle, be it camels, cows, or sheep, that a sawm is a condition. They must be fed off of the land. They mustn't be from the animals that are the owner goes and buys food for them and feeds them. And if the owner goes and buys food and feeds them, then there is no zakah due upon them. As for the Hanafiya and the Hanabila, they said it is not a condition for this to be the case the whole year round, but it's enough for it to be the majority of the year, even if it's 6 months and a day. So as long as they spend over 6 months feeding from the land and the owner doesn't buy food for them for over 6 months, then they are considered to be sa'ima. They're considered to be animals that graze from the land and not animals that are fed from the, you know, from the pocket of the owner, so to speak. And the reason the Hanafiya and the Hanabila, they said this, that it's the majority of the year is enough. They said, because feeding them for a small amount of time or feeding them for a lesser amount of time doesn't change them from being grazing cattle. It doesn't change them from being grazing cattle. So the fact that, for example, an animal in the middle of winter, for example, is brought in from the pasture and is fed from the, you know, food that is purchased by the owner, then that doesn't change it being grazing cattle. It's a month, it's 2 months, it's 3 months. They said up to 6 months. But once it reaches 6 months, then you can't say that that animal is a grazing animal, an animal that grazes or eats from the pasture outside. Rather, it's an animal that is ma'rufa, an animal that is fed. That is, the food is purchased for the animal and given to the animal. So, as we said, the Prophet ﷺ here, he mentioned fi sa'imatiha, that this applies with regard to sheep, and likewise it applies to camels, that those animals, they should be sa'ima, they should be animals that are feeding at least the majority of the year. They should be feeding from the land, from the grass, from whatever, I don't know, grass, hay, or whatever it might be, the things that are growing naturally from the land, and the owner is not purchasing food for them, at least for the majority of the year. From a number of 40 up to 120. So 40 is the minimum number. 40 is the minimum number of sheep or goats or whatever it might be. 40 is the minimum number. From 40 up to 120 sheep, the zakah is shatun, one sheep. So that means if someone has 39, there is no zakah. 38, no zakah. If they have 40, 41, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, up to 120, their zakah is one sheep. And once again, we have this waqas. And the waqas here, the remainder or the allowance between the two limits, is the biggest of all here when it comes to the sheep and goats. It's the biggest one. So as you saw in the camels, it was usually 11, sort of around 15. It was a fairly small number of camels that where a person could have, let's say, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, and then it went to the next number. But here, there's a huge, huge amount. The amount here, as we know, from 40 all the way up to 120, so a gap of 80, in which the individual numbers don't matter at all. Anything within the bounds of 40 all the way up to 120, and the zakah is one sheep or one goat. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَىٰ عِشْرِينَ وَمِئَةٍ إِلَىٰ مِئَتَيْنِ فَفِيهَا شَاتَانِ. So from anything more than 120, that's 121, all the way up to 200, then there are two sheep due. So that's 121, 122, 130, 140, 150, 60, 70, 80, 90, 199, 199, 200, all the way up to 200, including 200, the zakah is two sheep. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى مِئَتَيْنِ إِلَى ثَلَاثِ مِئَةٍ فَفِيهَا ثَلَاثُ شِيَةٍ. So from 201, anything that's more than 200, all the way up to 300, there are three sheep. And again, we said sheep are interchangeable, goats or whatever it is that the person has of those kinds of animals. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِئَةٍ فَفِي كُلِّ مِئَةٍ شَهْ. And when there is more than 300, so that's 301, all the way up to 400, then for each 100, there is a sheep. So for each 100, there is a sheep. So as we said, 201 would be three sheep, 299 would also be three sheep. Once we get over 300, we get to 301, then we follow a very simple system from 301. For every 100, one sheep. For every 100, one sheep. So at 300, we'd have three sheep, all the way up to 399, because at 399, we still haven't made the next 100. Once we reach 400, then for every 100, we take a sheep, so we take four, and it continues like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ سَائِمَةُ الرَّجُلِ نَاقِصَةً مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ شَاةً شَهْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the animals or the sheep here that a man owns are less than 40 sheep by even one sheep. The meaning of sha ten sha here is by even a sheep. If they're one sheep less than the total of 40, then فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. There is no sadaqa unless the owner wishes. So 39, so close to 40. So we got all the way up to 40, but just one sheep short, there's no zakah, illa in yasha'a rabbuha, unless the owner says, by all means, I only have 39, but as a sadaqah, I want to give one or I want to give two, then there is no harm in that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا يُجْمَعُ بَيْنَ مُتَفَرِّقٍ وَلَا يُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَ مُجْتَمِعٍ. He said, things that are apart should not be brought together, and or animals that are apart should not be brought together, and animals that are together should not be pulled or should not be separated or made apart. He said, وَلَا يُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَ مُجْتَمِعٍ خَشْيَةَ الصَّدَقَةِ, out of a fear of zakah. So here's when we talk about what we probably term zakah avoidance. People who are trying to avoid the zakah. And particularly when it comes to cattle, the way that they avoid the zakah, or they try to do zakah reduction or zakah avoidance, as some people do, we talk about tax avoidance. But as it relates to the Sharia, when it comes to Sharia, this matter is very, very serious indeed, that a person tries to avoid the zakah. How would they typically do that with cattle? What they would do is either put their cattle with someone else's cattle, or separate between their cattle into two different groups. So let's talk about the separation first of all. So somebody, let's say for example, has 78 sheep. Now, as we know, the zakah for sheep starts at 40. So what the person wants to do with these 78 sheep, they don't want to pay any zakah at all. So what they do is they split it into two groups, and they make it out that this half belongs to someone and this half belongs to someone else. And so then, because the total number of each group, i.e. the group number one is 39 and group number two is 39, the zakah collector says there's no zakah due. And in fact, it was the case that all of those 78 belonged to the same person. So it should have been one sheep. Or a person that could have been any number, could have been 60, for example. 60, there should be due one sheep. But instead, what the person does is cut that 60 into 30 and 30 and put them separately as though they belong to two separate different owners. And then the zakah collector doesn't take any zakah from them. That's a simple example. And that could be with any number. It could be even with hundreds where it's split so that there's a remainder and it reduces the number of sheep that they have to pay. This is an example of splitting sheep that used to be together. They were together. They were raised together. They were feeding together. They were in pasture together. But when the zakah collector came, khashiyat as-sadaqah, out of a fear of the zakah, they split them apart in order to reduce the zakah or to remove the zakah that is due upon them. The other example is the example of joining together in order to reduce the zakah. So here, Muhammad has 40 sheep and Ahmed has 40 sheep. How much zakah does Muhammad owe? Muhammad owes one sheep. How many does Ahmed owe? Ahmed owes one sheep. What do? They put them both together. So it makes 80. Someone who owns 80 sheep, how much zakah do they owe? One sheep. So they reduce the burden of the zakah by one. They try to cut down their zakah, minimize their zakah. And this is not allowed, khashyat as-sadaqah. وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ خَلِيطَيْنِ فَإِنَّهُمَا يَتَرَاجَعَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. And whatever is from two partners, they should account for it between themselves fairly or equally. So the example of this is, you have a set of sheep that are grazing together, that are raised together, but those sheep, and it could be camels also, those sheep actually belong to two, it's an investment where there are two partners. There are two partners. And Khalid here is their partners who raise their sheep as though they were one herd. So they're not like, it's not like one's got some and another one's got the other. Here they're raising them together, they're looking after them together, they're sharing the work together, but they are two partners. So how do we do? Do we count each partner separately? Do we say, how many sheep of these do you own? And he says, I own three. And how many do you own? He says, well, I own 37. And he says, okay, there's no zakat. No, here we treat it as one. We treat it because they've been raised together, and we're told, وَلَا يُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَ مُجْتَمِعِ, don't break apart the ones that are kept together. So they're kept together. However, when they say for example, Muhammad owns 10 sheep and Ahmed owns 30 sheep. So Muhammad owns 10 sheep and Ahmed owns 30 sheep. They keep them together in the same pasture and they treat them as one. When the zakah collector comes, he's going to take one sheep. So whose sheep does he take? Muhammad's sheep or Ahmed's sheep? Should he take Ahmed because Ahmed owns more of them? Or should he take Muhammad's sheep? Or should he draw lots and let them choose whose sheep he takes? Instead, what we say is he takes one sheep and the cost of that sheep is split according to the partnership, the shares in the partnership. So here, a quarter of the cost would be borne by Muhammad because he had 10 out of 40, and 3/4 of the cost would be borne by Ahmed because he had 30 out of 40. So each one according to the amount they own, their shares in the partnership, or their share of the partnership, they would take account of the cost of what was taken from the zakah. So the zakah is taken as though it's one property, as though it's one person's wealth, and they share the cost of that between them according to the shares in the partnership. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا يُخْرَجُ مِنَ الصَّدَقَةِ هَرِمَةٌ وَلَا ذَاتُ عَوَارٍ وَلَا تَيْسٍ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ الْمُصَدِّقِ. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there are three things that are not to be taken out from the animals in the sadaqah. Yani they're not to be, the zakah collector should not collect them. The first is harimatun. Harimatun is al-kabira allati balagat al-haram. The old animal that has reached the age where they are old and they are of no use, unwanted. They are older than the ages that are mentioned in the sharia, that are mentioned in the zakah. So they've become old, they've become, they're not suitable for use anymore. Their value is not the same as it was anymore because of their age. That is what is meant by harima. As for dhatu awar is the one that has is sick, or the one that has al-aib, has like a flaw in it. Maybe, for example, it's missing a leg, or it's blind in one eye, for example, or it has a sickness or a disability, then these animals are also not taken out in the zakah. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِيهِ إِلَّا أَن تُؤْمِضُوا فِيهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he told us, do not, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ. The word khabith here in the ayah doesn't mean that which is filthy or impure. It means الردي, the low quality. Don't give the low quality in zakah that you yourself wouldn't take unless you had your eyes closed. Unless you were just doing it out of shyness, or out of just give it to me like that. You yourself wouldn't take it. You yourself wouldn't want to be given one. So don't give what you wouldn't want to receive. That's basically what the ayah is talking about. And that's what the hadith is talking about here. That you don't take out the harima, which is the old animal, nor do you take out dhatu awar, the animal which is sick, or the animal which has a flaw in it. You don't take out those animals. Wala tais. Wala tais. The tais is the ram. The tais is the ram, the male of the sheep or the goats. So why is it that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited the male among the sheep from being taken out? There are two different reasons here, and it comes back to what we mentioned about al-musaddiq and al-musaddiq. We said al-musaddiq is the zakah collector, and al-musaddiq is the one who is giving the zakah. So this word wala tais, the first reason why they don't take out the ram is because the ram is needed by the owner of the sheep to breed the sheep. If you take away the ram, it's harmful to the owner of the sheep, because now the owner of the sheep can't breed the sheep, and they can't breed them, and so they will have a difficulty with the breeding, and they will have less sheep in total. So it's harmful to the owner of the sheep. It's also harmful to the person receiving the zakah, the poor person, because the value of the ram is less than the value of the female sheep or the female goat. So here, the harm is really, some of the scholars they mentioned, or some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it means here at the taste, if the owner of the taste wants to give it, they can give it. If the owner of the ram wants to give it, they can give it. But here we said it's actually also harmful to the poor people as well, because the poor people don't want to receive something that they themselves, it's not worth as much money to them. It's of lesser value. So we say here that it is illa in yasha al-musaddiq, unless the zakah collector wishes to do that. So if the zakah collector sees there is a benefit in that, or a need for it, or he thinks the poor person would be in need of that taste, then here the zakah collector can make an exception and take that ram. But otherwise, the ram is not to be taken from the zakah, because it's harmful to the owner of the sheep and it's harmful to the poor person. The poor person gets a low value animal, and the owner of the sheep can't breed a sheep as quickly or as many as they otherwise would have done. So what do we take out from the zakah then? We don't take out kara'im amwal an-nas, as we had in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anh. Don't take out the best of the people's wealth, their best sheep, their most prized camel. Don't take that. And we also don't take the harima and the dhat awar and the taste. We don't take the ram, we don't take the old animals, we don't take the ones that are sick or disfigured or disabled in some way. We don't take those animals. So in that case, we take al-mutawassit. We take the medium level, the ones in the middle, the average. However, what about if the owner wants to give their prize camel? Then this is fine, because that is another act of ihsan from the owner, illa yasha'a rabbuha, unless the owner wants to. So if the owner wants to give their prize camel, their most valuable camel, that's acceptable for the owner to make that decision, insha'Allah ta'ala. There's still another section of the hadith to go, which talks about the zakah on silver, and also about some of the issues of what to do when a person doesn't have the right camels, the right ages of camels, which are required by the zakah. But I think that we've done enough for this lesson, insha'Allah ta'ala, and we can delay that part of the hadith until the next time. So if we did kind of the first lesson we did on this hadith, we primarily dealt with the camels. The second lesson, we've primarily dealt with the sheep. And in the third lesson, insha'Allah, we're primarily going to deal with the zakah on silver. And we're going to also talk about zakah on money as well, insha'Allah ta'ala. So that's what Allah made easy for us to mention, and Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ
جزاكم الله خيرا for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.